Strictly Classics. Shout out Alicia on the check-in. Shout out Maisha on the check-in. New York City on the check-in. Let's go. DJ Rampage. Flippers, flip, believe the stun. Mouth shots, the one that gets the draw gun. Mic check, I get paid direct to set. Get ready to check, cause I'm a threat to your fret. No host bar, incomplete move fakers. That's the way to back the watch, you know I might take her. If she the grab, I'ma diss her then slide. If she try to rip, I got my Smith on my side. Word to God, here I come to make way. Rugged and rock, killing your set every day. Microphone check, 1, 2, here we go. And I'ma let you know who got the flow. Spitting my words like an automatic weapon. Suckers keep stepping, cause I'ma let you know.
Get into the politics stuff with you. I'll talk about that myself, but I'm not gonna get into that because everybody needs food. I mean, it doesn't matter who you voted for, everybody needs food. I get into it a little bit, but I have sponsors now, so I gotta be careful. But in these times, as a leader, as someone that's raised children and has adult children now, and I see your daughters, I follow them through you, and I see how they're doing, and I'm like, man, you know, like Rick's girls are out here getting it. They're making it happen. Go Colts! Take that thrashing. They're making it happen. What would you say to young people? Because I do a consistent column and segment. People that are early in their career. Mm-hmm. People that are trying to, they want to be Rick Whitted one day. They want to be a CEO. Or they want to be a VP. Or they want to be an entrepreneur. In whatever field that they're in, I focus on healthcare. But what would you say in these times, where these times volatile?
Yeah.
You've talked to me about marriage. You've talked to me about life. You've talked to me about family. You've talked to me about the ups and the downs. Yeah. How do you juxtapose all of that as a CEO and a leader?
There's a lot of questions there. I mean, I guess I'd start by saying what is always number one in my life is my family, my faith. Those things are core to me. I have a healthy marriage. Marriage is very hard. 30 years now, it doesn't get easier because everybody knows the rules. Everybody knows where the bones are buried, and nobody's scared of anybody. So it actually takes more work 30 years than it took in the first 3 years. And
I'm a little disappointed to hear that.
I mean, you're four. But so does anything worth having. Just say you stumbled on a plot of land that you bought and buried beneath it deeply was gold, tons of gold, unlimited gold. You would have to work harder just to protect the land. And, I'm just very aware that, in my 30 years of marriage, buried deeply and infinitely in that is gold. And I will do what it takes to protect it. So here I am 30 years later. Date night is still Thursday night. My team knows date night is Thursday night. My family knows. James knows date night is Thursday night. And I will protect that. My children still love being with us. We'll be, doing our destination Christmas. They're all grown, and one of them has kids and married, and we'll still do it together. So I would say, You, if you're on a ladder unbalanced, it doesn't matter where the ladder takes you. It doesn't matter if it takes you to the top, if you fall off, if you get off. It really doesn't matter, because if you don't get on the ladder balanced, you're not balanced.
Right.
And we are steeped relationally, and where we're not, something that's inanimate will become our ruler. And end of that is no fun.
It's true.
Because, in the words of Andrew Carnegie, who was asked, you know, how, you know, you're the, at that time, you're the richest man in the world. How right. much is enough? Andrew said, well, just a little bit more. And when you
it's a terrible way to live, man.
When you're on a path or a career ladder unbalanced, then your ruler is inanimate. Right. And you will always need just a little bit more. So
and the fall and the higher you go, the fall is going to be farther.
I think the other side of that is in the workplace itself. You know, I would say that, you know, it's interesting. I forgot I shared with you that story. It's my middle daughter, Shekinah.
That's a great story.
When she was just in high school. And you have to ultimately figure out what problem in the world you want to solve. And if you don't have the privilege to solve the one you really have passion about,
right,
then solve the one that's in front of you. And there isn't any work that we do. I don't even care if, you know, for almost 30 years of my life, you're a corporate banker in a corporate environment. There's problems you can solve
every day.
And the best career advice I can give anyone is that people will pay you for a good insight. And if you can come to the table with insight that adds clarity mm-hmm. to the problems in front of them, then your career will grow.
I agree.
I've never chased
it. You want to be humble,
it.
Though. You bring humility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be a tool.
And I think that's the advice I could give you. But, man, if you're on this career pathing thing and you are not equally focused in on relational development outside of work. One, relational development at work is going to be challenged because you cannot be what you are not.
Well, especially in hybrid environments now. I mean, it's not the same. You're not in office 45
worse.
Hours a week.
It's
harder.
It's worse because you don't have to. Right. You know, you can just let your quote-unquote your personal product be the conversationalist for you, and that's not the same. You know, in the world of commerce, relationship is 90 parts of the 100.
Absolutely.
And so, I would say those are the things. One, do not get on the ladder unbalanced. And then secondly, figure out the problems you want to solve in life. When I said to my daughter, close your eyes, and I want you to look at where you are. You're 5 years from retiring. You've had the time of your life. You've made all of the checklist goals that you've wanted to make. And I said, what are you doing at that point? And as she described what she was seeing, what do you smell? Like, who's around you? What are they wearing? As she described that, you know, she was really describing a longing in her heart to belong to something. Mm. And when she opened her eyes, I said, everything you do from now on,
it's beautiful.
I want you to work toward that. And this was someone who at that time was headed down the path of healthcare, right? She wanted to be a doctor or a nurse prac, and who's now a fifth grade teacher.
Okay.
And having the passion of her life and loving it because she saw an image of what was critical to her and said, this is what I'm going to chase and what I'm going to pursue. So, the only thing I'd add there, James, is there's an acronym I use called C-S-E-E-C.
Okay.
Number one, when you have that vision, then pursue the skill sets you need to be better.
Right.
Two, seek out experience that's going to help you get there. And that may be at a different place, but that's not always or mostly, you know, hopping. You could raise your hand and say, I'll take on that extra project. Because
a lot of people don't realize that. I tell people that I mentor that, hey, if you have an opportunity, if you have a boss that allows you get some exposure on an extra project. And people say, I'm not getting paid for that. You know, that's the promotion. And I say, look, if you don't get a chance to do something, you won't have any verification that you have that skill. So sometimes taking that extra project, and I wouldn't say make that your whole life, but sometimes taking that extra 30 hours and working late, you get another skill and you've proven to not just your boss, because I'm not about that, but you've proven to yourself.
Hey, James, you've added a skill set to your resume versus thinking you needed to hop jobs to go get that.
Right.
Listen, here's the truth, man. Like, people don't pay for unproven things.
That's right.
So
proof of concept.
The work always comes before the pay.
Right.
So when you get a stretch assignment, take it.
Right.
Because now you've gained experience that you wouldn't have gained otherwise, right. Or you would have had to run the risk of leaving a culture you know how to perform in to learning a new one to perform in again.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just about really slowing down. So see, skill set, experiences, and the last is exposure. That's mentorships. Mm. And that is, you know, who can I learn from? Hey, if you're fortunate enough to have a good boss, great place. But you know, experiences and exposure can come from a ton of places.
Yes, it
and
can.
Oftentimes that exposure is the most important one because I can gain lessons that I didn't have to learn
right. The
hard way. I just need
and to put up your own financial
capital. Yeah, yeah. So see, skill set, experiences, and exposures that you need, you know, to really achieve that vision you have for yourself.
That is phenomenal. We're at heading to the top of the hour. I'm just appreciating the time that I've had with you, Rick. It's always great. Where can people find you if they want to tap in or want to bring a food packing event to their area? What's your social information?
Yeah, I tell them just reach out to me. I'm on LinkedIn.
All right.
Rick Whitted.
Rick Whitted.
Or send me an email, rick@ushunger.org. ushunger.org. And I'll be glad to. That's RICK, rick@ushunger.org. Right.
Thank you so much for your time. Look forward to seeing you in the very near future.
Good to see you, brother.
The Rubicon in 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7 Studios.
James Lewis.
When I became a VP, I thought that my job was to face upward. I was like, well, I'm at the board now. I'm presenting to the board. I'm in there with the C-suite. I'm with the big dogs. I'm playing golf. I'm going to country clubs. I'm going on retreats with the suits. But the truth of the matter is, vice presidents, directors, their job is to focus on their staff. You're a buffer from the C-suite, from the people with the yachts and helicopters. You're a buffer from them to your staff. Your job as a vice president is to do two things. A, make sure that your C-suite trusts you, that you're going to get the job done, that they can sleep well knowing that you're taking care of business. They don't have to worry about your department or departments. They don't have to worry about your employees. They don't have to worry that you're not where you're supposed to be on time and ready to perform. But your job really is to make sure that your direct reports have everything that they need to be successful. Both from a perspective of resources and supplies, physical, but then from a mental wellness standpoint, it's your job to make sure that you have a good culture and that there isn't a constant state of worry or state of panic. And that's really your job. You take care of your staff. Your staff needs 20 grand for training, you got to go up to the C-suite and shake that 20 grand out of your C-suite.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, the Rubicon. In 3, 2, 1.
Paragon 7.